A blitz. Darnold is able to stay upright. Wow, what a play by Darnold. Wanted to go down, still going. Inside the 10 for the touchdown. There are no flags, and that is all Sam Darnold. 46 yards. Territory. Rippon's going to air it out downfield. One-on-one coverage, and this one is caught. And backing into the end zone is Jerry Jeudy with his first touchdown catch in his rookie season. With Gordon, who has to bounce, and now this is the play they need. Gordon is going to get toward the end zone and in. He got a great block from Brett Rippon, the quarterback. And after bouncing it, Melvin Gordon has basically ended this ball game.
Melvin Gordon with a 43-yard touch. See, that's why sometimes yards per carry lies. Not a big day for Gordon before that, but all of a sudden, he finishes 23 for 107 and two touchdowns with that game-clinching run for the Broncos. Final score, 37 Denver Broncos, 28 New York Jets. The Jets had a 28-27 lead midway through the fourth quarter, but the Broncos scored all points from that point onward to improve to 1-3. Dan Hans is here along with the Sizzler, Mark Sessler, to talk about one of those games, Mark, that just felt like it would never end. It's a classic bad football game between bad teams that is entertaining. But I just finished the night before watching Yankees-Indians, the longest nine-inning game in the history of Major League Baseball. And this game somehow felt longer, I have to be honest. And not just because the Jets were the team that lost.
Yeah, it's the closest comparison that I could come up with. When it was, you know, 4 or 5 minutes into the third quarter and everyone in my house was going to sleep, was that it was kind of like when you're on a really long airplane flight and you're stuck in the row behind two people that have just become friends and are talking loudly and they're going to talk for 4.5 hours. Like, it just felt like that a little bit to me. But, you know, I also think that there were it was sort of a microcosm. Well, you tell me if you agree with this. It felt like a microcosm of the Jets fan experience. Not every high and low possible, but the moment in the game where it could have gone down as one of the more crushing plot points in Jets history, where Sam Darnold appeared to go down with a collarbone injury or something. That's what Troy Aikman said. You know, if anyone who's had that injury,
and way, Troy, calm down, you know, Dr. Aikman in the future, because you're messing with the hearts and minds of millions of people at home.
He did. And it's at that point you had to wonder if that were the end for Sam Darnold this season. And with all the tumult in the organization and everything else and the coaching that we're seeing, and then he comes back. And to me, that when I was sitting there watching that, I thought this is the perfect setup for Sam Darnold to have one of those games where he orchestrates a rather heroic and rare comeback for a team that's, you know, been hurting. And it kind of spoke to me that it was everything around Sam Darnold that prevented that a little bit. It was a little bit of Broncos friskiness, and it was a little bit of Sam Darnold all mixed into one. So there's more work to do, and I lost a little bit more confidence in the coaching staff tonight. But I don't want to overreact. Well, no, I mean,
how much more can be lost?
Dan, to be honest, I don't want to, like, I don't know if it's the appropriate. I think anyone who watched the game, I don't want to be dropping like hammers all over the place. But Adam Gase, like, seems wedded to, I think they were like 9 for 16 or even less on third downs. He seems really to have a fetish for third and long. And I don't know in the NFL's 2020 where that fits. And it's not a service to the rest of the players on that offense.
Yeah. My point is, I don't know how you come out of this game having less faith in the Jets coaching, because this is another yet more confirmation, as if who knows with Jets management and anything in that organization, whether it's being done from a competent standpoint. But, you know, you don't need more examples of why this is the wrong regime to be in charge. But yeah, seeing it over and over again, now in prime time where everyone gets to have their chuckles on Twitter for 4 hours. But it doesn't change the fact that this has been going on, you know, for a year and a half almost now, where it's very clear that Gase is not the guy for the team, that he was the exact wrong guy to try to take Sam Darnold to the next level. And they're not progressing. In fact, it's going the other way. And yeah, I guess my thought about this game, and we're definitely, don't worry, Broncos fans, we're going to talk Broncos too. But my thought about Darnold was, again, betrayed by poor play calling, poor pass protection, and some of that was injury related with the Jets had eight active offensive linemen for this game. All eight needed to be used. There were injuries all over the place. Mekhi Becton got re-injured, and the right tackle got injured. It was a total mess. But Darnold needs to take some heat on this too. On their last meaningful possession, I texted you, Mark, and I also texted my dad. Like, this was a big drive for Darnold. They had a chance down 2 points to go down the field, kick a field goal, win a game, and then Sam Darnold would get interviewed post-game by Colleen Wolfe and Michael Irvin, and the Jets would have a win, and it would still be a terrible season and a dead-end situation for the franchise that they need to kind of hit the reboot button. But for one night in prime time, they have a moment, and instead they can't get it done. And Darnold deserves blame for that. I think the thing with Sam Darnold is, and you saw it on the scramble for the touchdown, there's the athleticism. You saw toughness coming back from getting his shoulder driven into the turf. But also, even on that play, he holds the ball too long. He had a receiver flashed open. He takes that hit unnecessarily, comes back in the game, makes some good throws. But also, when the chips were down and it was time to go win a game, again, he's got bad offensive line. He doesn't have great weapons around him, but he didn't get the job done. So you got to like factor when they start to figure out the Jets, what the organization needs to do going forward. And right now, the only goal, honestly, in 2020 for the Jets is don't go 0-16, don't get Darnold killed, and let us get one more full season of the QB before deciding what to do in the draft. They almost got him killed, and Darnold, despite having, you know, a 250-yard passing day and nearly 100 yards rushing, still leaves more questions than answers. And on the Broncos side, I don't know what to take. There's these games, like with the Niners is an example of the last 2 weeks with the Giants and the Jets. I know before he started throwing the interceptions, Brett Rypien was the story, because he did hit some receivers and made some plays and looked competent. Who was that?
Rypien. I'm sticking by that.
But you know what? It's like, how could you take anything? The Jets don't have any pass rush. They don't have anybody that can cover. I mean, if you are a barely competent NFL quarterback, you should be able to move the ball. Did you come out of this, Mark, thinking that Brett Rypien was a guy that is a potential answer or a quarterback controversy situation in Denver?
No, I came out thinking that in a Colt McCoy-ish way, that he probably helped himself to be a backup for at least half a decade, if not more. Because here's what I did see from him. And I will point out, I think one of the best throws that I saw on this night was Sam Darnold whipping the ball to Crowder, to his left, to Crowder, and then to Jeff Smith on a crossing route before he went down with that injury. And I thought that Sam Darnold is having a good evening here. And that was the beginning, and then the injury happened. But two of the better throws I saw tonight, two or three of them came from Rypien. I really thought that here's what he is and why I think he's, and you know, and I tweeted out that he'll be around forever. And what I mean by that is I think he has like a decade long backup career because he's the son of coaching. He's the son of NFL lineage, and it's John Elway who goes and gets Jim Kelly's lineage. And then he goes and gets Mark Rypien's lineage. You know, he's his nephew. We all get that at this point. They couldn't have mentioned that any more times, but Rypien is someone who's been, I just Rypien. Grew up in football. Rypien. I'm going to call him Rypien until Rypien. The end of time. I'm sticking with that. I told you, but I think he's an accurate, I know the interceptions happened, but this was his first game ever, an undrafted quarterback. And he whipped a few insane throws tonight on the money. And I do believe that he can hang around on that front as a backup. I don't want to get overworked in that though. It was a weird game. And I agree with you in the sense that it's sort of like the fog of war. What do you pull from either team out of this? I want to just say one thing, Dan, the reason I lost a little bit more faith in the Jets was the idea that Mekhi Becton was out there so early after getting, you know, if you're not healthy enough to start, why are you going in a couple plays after? It just, to me, that just is like, management of your players and your plan for them. I don't know the answer to that. I just would like to. It's little things like Quinnen Williams, like, when will you show up? He's had a good season, but tonight, not there. Like Chris Herndon, like these guys that are like the front office's picks. It's not just, it's easy to dump everything on Gase, but the thing is that Gase has all these injuries around him too. Gase is operating in the same defunct scenario that Sam Darnold is, yet Gase is creating some, but it's the marriage between the whole thing. The Broncos seem as confused to me too, but the Broncos came in a super banged up team and got a more inspired performance, I thought, traveling across the country, with a third string undrafted quarterback, and they didn't look that different to me, the two quarterbacks and the two offenses. I don't know. It left me confused more than with answers.
I think Troy Aikman put it well at the end of the game. He called it Thursday night slop.
Right. That's what it was. Classic slop fest. And those tend to go an hour longer than they should.
He was referring because Fangio is not the answer either. I'm sorry. Adam Gase is the number one guy that needs to get canned in a head coaching job right now. But I don't think much of Fangio either. And I thought it was absurd. These two genius tacticians. I don't know if you were watching the last minute of the game. The game is out of hand. It's a two-score game. The Jets still have three timeouts after another fruitless possession. And they start burning their timeouts and stopping Denver from running out the clock. And then Fangio, for some reason, on top of it then, is calling pass plays that leads to the quarterback, Ripien, taking two big shots. Game's over. This is run out the clock stuff. And the Jets get hit with a sixth personal foul. That's on coaching as well. And at the end of the game, Fangio doesn't even shake hands with Gase, and he implores his players to run into the tunnel without even talking to the Jets. That is sloppy. That's sloppy. The Jets are a total mess with Gase at the controls. But Fangio having his quarterback throwing in that spot to try to run out the clock, I don't even know what it was about. I thought that was a great summation of what was going on in this Thursday night game, which was, at least, if nothing else, there were points scored and there was a pick six and there was a long kick return and Jerry Jeudy had the touchdown catch. There were some plays, but it's just – and the Becton thing – it is insane. And I know you've been a big fan of him, Mark, or a big fan of his potential, and I've been hopeful. But Joe Douglas is not coming out in the wash so far, the moves that he made going into this season. Pierre Desir, the cornerback, had one of the weirdest games ever, where he was torched repeatedly. He was non-competitive on the Jeudy touchdown, which should have been an interception. But then he had a great, like, toe drag swag INT and then a pick six to get the Jets back in the game. But he stinks. He was signed to be the number one cornerback. Connor McGovern, the center, struggled. Brett Perryman, who was supposed to replace Robbie Anderson, nowhere to be seen. And Mekhi Becton, like, if he is coming in on the fifth snap of the game,
right,
then he should have been starting. But if he's not starting because he's injured, then he shouldn't be playing. He's the big ticket. He's their big guy. And for you to put him in harm's way and then he leaves the game with re-aggravation of the shoulder injury, it just shows from top to bottom what a mess the Jets are. So, you know, I was happy, Ricky, that we did the Instagram live and you did the halftime show with me. That was nice.
It was fun. Yeah. Make sure you check that out. You can see those videos. They're at the ATN podcast on Instagram.
Check that out and give us a follow. But I guess that's my final thoughts, that Darnold had a chance there to be interviewed by Colleen Wolf, and he didn't get help from Chris Herndon, another guy that's gone MIA. So I'm bummed about Darnold not finding a way to win that game. I'm bummed about their handling of Mekhi Becton. I'm bummed that the Jets are a national punchline. And if I'm at the Broncos, I'm happy I got a win here. And yes, good for, despite the three interceptions by Ripien, and could have thrown four, and I don't think he's special on any level. Nice job on a short week on the road to make some throws there and be competitive. So if you're a Broncos fan, you get to enjoy a W. So, you know, good for you guys.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add. I'd like to have tracked how much of this game Ricky watched from wire to wire. I mean, I'm proud of you because it went on for about 5.5 hours. I just turned 64 years old during the third quarter. but it was a classic. Thursday night games did not exist some years back. Now they do, and they have a weird special flavor. And this brought all of that. It doesn't mean that it tastes good.
My favorite little anecdote from the night is watching it with Jet, who plays fantasy football but doesn't really know anything. And when the Jets didn't go for that half a yard on fourth down, they didn't go for it. She was like, but they're so close. Like, why don't they just jump over the line? Like, why? Even someone who doesn't watch football was like, they're that close. Like, why wouldn't they just take that extra step? And I mean, they did get a few interceptions right before. So I'm like assuming Gase was like, all right, we'll do it again on defense. But that to me was just like, oh, just do it.
See, that's you. That's yeah. you just do speaking it. From the fantasy perspective. You know,
it is. Well, you could be just Jets Adam Gase. From the Jets,
like why they should have. Even Troy Aikman was like, you're 0-3. You go for it.
Yeah, but Troy's got to calm down a little bit. Troy's a little punch drunk there and just like so bored of the game that he's just like, oh, do something fun. But the Jets had a chance to hit a 38-yard field goal to go up by 1 point late in the fourth quarter. You kick the field goal, even though it's more fun to go for it. So yeah. I don't know about Troy tonight. I didn't like the clavicle thing where he diagnosed Sam Darnold with a season-ending collarbone injury like on the field. And I don't like, you know, him being a little flip about the fourth down play there. I like him on balance. And Joe Buck, all due respect, that guy is a pro to the end.
I mean,
I got nothing else. On Twitter that's like, Dan, I'm so sorry. And Zumwalt's hitting me up on Twitter. I love you, bro. Hang in there. I'm fine. I'm already at peace with this Jets season. It's a disgrace, and I'm just counting down the days till the next regime, until I could talk myself into a new season. They can't hurt me.
Dan, they care about you, but you also, you know, when you go out there with a pregame, you know, Instagram and a halftime show, it's like people are plugged into your feelings. Like you've been offering up your take on the game.
It was a great show,
you know,
though.
And
someone commented was like, what's with all the Alec Baldwin quarantine post? Dan had a few up close shots of the hair on our Instagram. It's still up there, guys. Go check it out. It is a sight to be seen.
I also know that every time the Jets lose, you know, we're a little thread that thrives occasionally with Zumwalt and Bob, your friends, Dan. And whenever the Jets lose, Zumwalt finds a way to make us all feel better. So I'm waiting to see what that could turn into later on.
Better to leave some mystery with that one.
Yes.
All right. Good stuff. Again, we'll be back on Sunday night with a full recap of week 4. So make sure you check that out. And thank you again, everybody on the gram. We'll try to do that again down the line. This is Dan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm and Ricky Hollywood. Have a great weekend, everybody.